The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you, fellas. Isn't it good to hear young men sing? Isn't that good? I love to hear young men sing, and I love to hear young men preach. And it's just a joy to be able to see God doing some things in our young people's hearts. Look at 2 Corinthians 9 again, if you will. Look at verse 10. Well, the Bible says he ministers seed to the sower, both to minister, it says, bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. I want to speak to you tonight on our part in faith promise giving. Someone said this, never measure generosity by what you give, but only measure it by what you have left. That's a good statement. Somebody else wrote this, a little short poem. It says, it is not what you'd do with your million if riches ever be your lot, but what are you doing at the present with the dollar and the quarter that you got? I think it's important that we evaluate what we have. I said this morning as we gave illustration about the widow woman that's over there in the book of Kings, how all of a sudden now her husband had died, went home to be with the Lord, and had left her hardly anything at all. And no doubt they liquidated the properties that she had to be able to pay the bill. That wasn't enough. And so as was the custom back in those days, they would come and they would take the boys or the girls, whatever it might be, to be bondsmen or bondswomen, to be able to work off that which was the debt by serving in the person's home that was the creditor. And she went running to the man of God, and she said to the man of God, I have nothing at all save a pot of oil and the cruse. And then she said, I have nothing at all, nothing at all. And here's what the man of God said, well, what do you have in your house? And did you know that God uses what we have in the house many times over? That's how come I believe that the way that God meets the need of a local independent Baptist church is by the people that attend that local independent Baptist church. That's the way it ought to be. That is God's ordained way. I think if the church ever gets in a financial strait, then it's because God's people have decided not to obey the Lord in their finances. And it's only because of that that sometimes churches across America get into financial straits. Now, can I tell you that it's very important that we understand missions giving. There's two different types of philosophies, if you will, when it comes to missions giving. One of those philosophies is this: I promise to give to God if God will give to me. And by the way, when faith promise was introduced to the U.S., this was the most present philosophy that was being taught at that time. And that is, God, you lay something on my heart, and if you give it to me, I'll give it back to you. But I want to give you a second philosophy tonight that I believe it's a little bit more scriptural. I believe it's the way missionaries do it as well. And that is this: God, you tell me what you want me to do, and I'll make it happen. Now, I believe you'll bless me in return, but you just tell me what to do, and I'll make it happen. Okay? Example. Let me tell you how missionaries are. God calls a missionary to do a work. Well, he doesn't say, God, I'll tell you what, if you supply, I'll go do the work. Here's what he says: I'm going to go do the work, and God, I'll make it happen. Somehow I'll make it happen. And so they go, they hit the trail called the deputation trail, and they don't give up. Some missionaries, bless their hearts, it takes them 3 to 5 years to be able to raise financial support. I've heard of missionaries that takes up to 7 years to be able to raise financial support, but they stay at it. They just stay at it. Because they know what the will of God is. Can I tell you, young people, tonight, the most important thing you could ever do in your life is to find the will of God and do the will of God. That's the most important thing you can ever do in your life. Because if you don't do that, you live your life outside of the will of God, then you're not going to be blessed like God would want you to be blessed, or be used like God wants you to be used. And so it's important to be able to find the will of God, do the will of God. When it comes to faith promise missions, here's what we ought to do. Here's the way we ought to approach it. God, I'm coming to you in prayer. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. But I'll tell you what I will do. I will do whatever you tell me to do. Whatever you lay on my heart, that's what I will try to do. I'm going to do it if I can find out a way to be able to do it. I am going to make it happen. Now, by the way, are you listening to me? God's not going to lay something on your heart that's a bogus if you're walking with God. Amen. Now, don't do this. Please don't get wrapped up in your emotions. Don't do that. People go to the mission field with me, and here's what happens. I know Denton's been with me several times on a mission trip. Brother Stead and many people that's in this room has been on mission trips with me. And I've taken preachers. I cannot remember how many. I know I've taken over 20 preachers to the mission field. And I've had young people from different colleges that's come. And here's what they said. They said this. They said, well, I believe God's called me to the mission field. All my children I've taken to the mission field. Josh, how many times have you been? Seven times to the mission field. How many times have you been? Two times to the mission field. I think my daughter's been one time. Where's Rebecca at? Where's Rebecca at? Wave at me. Where's she at? She is in the right there. How many times have you been? Two? Did you say two? Two times to the mission field. Where's Jared at? Where's Jared at? Is he a live video booth? How many times? Two times to the mission field. Honey, we've been how many times together? Two? Ten. 20 times in the mission field. And okay, now wait a minute. I'm saying this. I'm saying that I've had people that say this. They've said this. And not my kids, but I've had others that sit around the table. And in the midst of emotions, they say, I believe God's called me here. I say, get away from the emotions. Never make a decision in the middle of the emotions. Because you don't want to make an emotional decision. If it's God's will today, it'll be God's will. How many have heard this? If it's God's will today, it'll be God's will tomorrow or 5 years from now. And so God is not going to withdraw his calling from your life. By the way, if God's called you to be a preacher, then he's not going to withdraw his calling from your life. All right? You might have to preach part-time. You might have to volunteer to preach and work a full-time job. That's not the important thing. The important thing is you're fulfilling the will of God in your life. That's the important thing, okay? Now, here's what we understand. So there's that philosophy. The philosophy is, okay, God, if you lay something on my heart and you give it to me, I'll give. But I believe a more scriptural philosophy is what even the missionaries practice, is God, you show me what you want me to do and I'll make it happen. I'll make it happen. I'll get out there. I'll work an extra job. There's a church over in Houston. It used to be the church that Brother Wood used to pastor. Now I think his son-in-law pastors it. Who is it? Pastors that? Brother Farley pastors that church. I remember preaching with Jack Wood, or hearing him preach. I didn't preach with him. I heard him preach up in, I think it was called Rome, Georgia. And he got up and he preached and he told about people in his church. And he said, come Faith Promise mission time, he said they'd take off their wedding rings and put them in there. They would put keys to their vehicles in there. He would give over $1 million. This is a much smaller church than what we have. And they give over $1 million a year to Faith Promise giving. They believed in it. There'd be ladies that would understand what the Bible teaches about dress, and they'd make decisions about dress, and they'd take their bullfighting breeches, you know, and they'd go cut them up, and they'd make quilts, and they'd sell them for missions money, and then they would give to missions. You listen to me? There'd be people go out and get, he said they had retired people in the church that would go out and they'd get a full-time job so they could work a full-time job just to give those funds to missions. Now, can I tell you, when we let missions get a grip on us, we'll be able to see a lost and dying world come to know Christ on a more rapid scale. And so, what is it that God would have you to do? What is it that God would have you to get involved in? How is it that you could help to send a missionary somewhere around the world so that somebody else, just like you did or your children did, is able to hear the Word of God, able to hear how to be saved? It's funny how the Apostle Paul looked at different people that was his helpers, and he named them. In Philemon, you'll see that Paul talks about his helpers, and he talks about fellow laborers in verse 1. He talks about fellow soldiers in verse 2. He talks about fellow prisoners in verse 23. In the book of Colossians chapter 4, Paul also names those that are walking beside him. And in verse 7, he says fellow servants. In verse 10, he says fellow prisoners. In verse 11, he says fellow workers. The Apostle Paul was used by God to start at least 10 churches that we know of. We know that the Apostle Paul got out there and he worked. Now, how is it that he was able to do that? How is it that we're able? I believe that God gives those that are givers the potential to be able to give, and he gives the goers the strength and the ability to be able to go. Now, how is that so? Let's look at our Bibles tonight. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's look at verse 10 again. The Bible says, but he ministers seed, it says, to the sower. It says, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now, the Bible says that it says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower. So statement number one, here's what we understand. There's the duty of the supplier. Who is it that ministereth? Who is it that giveth? Who is it that shareth that which is the seed to the sower? That's God himself. All right, so there is the duty of the supplier. Now, who is that? That's God. God is the one that supplies. Tonight, God has supplied you with energy. Tonight, God has supplied you with the ability to be able to think. Tonight, God has supplied you with the ability to be able to function tonight. Tonight, God has been good to you. God has taken good care of you. Tonight, most of us live in nice houses and we drive nice cars and we have nice clothing to wear. And tonight, if you wanted to go out to eat, more than likely, you'd be able to go out to eat. Why? Because God has been good to you. God has been good to me. Most of us carry emergency money inside of our pockets, and we do that. That way, if an emergency comes up, we can handle it with a little or no effort whatsoever without going into a relatively small amount of debt. Now, can I tell you tonight that God is the one that supplies that? Boy, I'm so glad tonight that God has supplied for me. I'm so glad. I'm glad tonight that God's given me energy. I know people that are 54 years of age, such as I, and they have trouble and they have difficulties and they're having ailment problems and they're having all sorts of things that's coming across them. But tonight, God has given me the ability to be able to have energy and to be able to function in a high, relatively aggressive state of being. And I thank God for that. I thank God that God has been so good to Mike Wells and that God has taken care of me and that God has supplied all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, can I tell you tonight that God is the supplier? He answers prayer. He comes through. He comforts. He encourages. He's there. You call upon him in the midnight hour and he can answer prayer. You get in distress and God can come through for you. You're the one tonight that he wants to minister that which is seed to you. He's the supplier. Philippians chapter 4 was written to a local church, and it was a missions giving church. It was the church that underwrote the Apostle Paul, mostly you'll see in his ministry at this point in his life. And the Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 19, he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All right, so he writes this to those that are giving to that which is a missionary supported program. And he says to them, he says, I want you to know that God will supply your need. Now, what does he supply? Well, he supplies seed. Look at it in verse 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 again. He says, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. Multiply your seed sown. I grew up on that farm for just a first couple years of my life, but then I'd go back from time to time before they sold the place, and I would work the farm. I did that to the age of 12 or 13, 14, somewhere around about there, and then they sold the farm. But I remember all those years and going out to the cornfields. I remember going out to the cornfields, and Brother Crutchers, I'd head out to the cornfields, and I'd take those patches, sometimes cutting through the woods because we had fields on all over the place, and I'd take a shortcut through the woods, and I would find out on the edge of the cornfield there was some seed that somebody dropped along the wayside, and there was this corn stalk that'd be growing all by itself. not a part of the field, but all by itself. Now, can I tell you that when somebody sows seed, that seed produces a crop. Even though it might be all by itself, I think of missionaries that's on the mission field and they're in distressful places. Missionaries on the mission field and they're serving in underground churches, dangerous places. But yet, they're there by themselves and they might not see a bunch of people get saved. We go to the Philippines and in one given week, I remember the year that we took, I think, 19 or 18 people with us, and we hit so many public schools. I mean, we were in those schools, we were in those colleges, and we was just giving it everything. Did you go on that one, Josh? You're shaking your head, yes. We went everywhere we could, and we gave that gospel out, and I'm telling you, we had a huge team, and 22,000 people professed Christ that week. And we say, glory to God, amen, hallelujah. Now, wait a minute, though. But we ought to rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. What about that sinner that's in a hard field? You know, to me, the Philippines is a very ripe field. You go to the Philippines, there's ripe field. You go over to Africa, it's a ripe field. You go to Cambodia, it's ripe. White on the harvest. You go to England, it's not ripe like that. You go to Eastern Europe, it's not ripe like that. You go over to Germany, it's not ripe like that. It's like the hand of God is kind of passing over different places, but it's all because they've not been those that would be receptive to the Word of God. Now, wait a minute. Did you know that Dallas is ripe? I tell you, it's ripe. I have preacher friends of mine. Well, we got young people that's come here from David Williams. Where you at? Raise your hand. New York. Come here from New York. Is it easier soul winning here than it is in New York? People more receptive here? Do they like you in spite of the way you look? A little bit. Now, wait a minute. We've got young people that's come here from the northeastern areas as a part of where they come from. And can I tell you, they find that the Dallas area is wide open to the gospel. Now, isn't it something how God is sending people here from all over the nation? Isn't it something? 10,000 people a month, according to my last recollection of what was coming in. I don't know what it is today, but when I chased that a couple months ago, 10,000 people a month coming to Dallas. This is a mission field. It's a mission field. Now, can I tell you, here's what we understand. God is the one that minister that seed. He's the supplier. And yet, that seed is the Word of God. We can take the Word of God. Don't you love going soul winning? Woo! Don't you love passing out tracts? Boy, a tract is an amazing thing. I'm glad that somebody invented the tract. I'm just so glad about it. I really am. I love passing out tracts. I'll pass them out everywhere I go. And if you've been with me, you know it's true. And boy, I'll pass that track out. I'll give it to somebody, and I'll say, read that. I want to invite you to the church. A pastor down there at Parkside Baptist Church. And by the way, on the inside of that, that'll show you how you can go to heaven, and you don't have to die and go to hell. And I give it to them just that way. Now, wait a minute. Why? You say, why do you put it like that? Because I want them to see the importance of it. I want them to understand. You know, there's some people in our church that's come to church because of a tract. There's people that's received Jesus Christ because of a tract. I was in a gas station just a week ago, and every time I go to that gas station, I'll pass out tracts. And the lady, she said, you gave me one of those. I said, I did. What'd you do about it? She said, I read it. I said, what'd you do about that? She said, I want you to know I made a decision of receiving Jesus Christ because I received that piece of paper. She didn't call it a tract. She didn't know what it was. Because I received that piece of paper from you. And she said, I'm so thankful. Hey, you can give this out to different people, and it is the seed that God uses to be able to help somebody come to know Christ as Savior. And if you'll be busy about getting out the gospel of Christ, you won't get as backslidden as easy. I'm saying tonight that there's the supplier, that's Christ, that's God. There's the seed, that's the Word of God. There's the sower. Look at it, if you will. We're in that same verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and the Bible says, both minister bread, it says, for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. God needs sowers. He needs a people that's going to sow. And by the way, you don't think you have to do it the way I do it. Don't think you have to. My wife and I, we lived in Brooklyn, New York for a little while, and there was a lady up there that had the lady sowing program. They had what they call the foster club. Came out of First Baptist Church Hammond, foster club. And my wife went into that foster club, and they were teaching her the way to lead people to Christ. But she was a soul winner for many years, you know. And she said, honey, I'm uncomfortable with the way that they do it. I said, well, then you just do it your way. Because now you listen to me. It doesn't matter what way you do it, but you need to give them the truth. You need to give them the gospel. And we're all different. Yeah, Brother Hatch was different. I talk about him, but he's just different, you know? And he would get away with things that a common man would not get away with. And I've seen preachers try to imitate him, and they get in trouble. He used to go about saying, I'm the FBI. Well, you think that's false representation, but he would do it anyway. He didn't care. He said, I'm the FBI. He said, I find them, I get them baptized, and I introduce them to Sunday school. FBI. He said, I'm after you. All right, now wait a minute. Now, some of our kids are going to go out and do that. They're going to get locked up next week. The duty of the supplier, that's God, statement number one. Statement number two, the dedication of the sower, that's the goers. The dedication of the sower. Look at verse 10 again. The Bible says, he that ministers seed, it says, to the sower. The Bible says, watch it, and multiply, it says, your seed sown. All right? So there's the duty of the supplier. God's going to do his job. He is going to do his job. God has never one time not done his job. God will always do his job, all right? And so he'll always supply, but he needs somebody that's going to be dedicated as a sower in order to get out there and to faithfully take that seed and sow it. I'm not talking about sowing discord. I'm not talking about sowing disbelief. I'm not talking about sowing discouragement. I'm not talking about sowing negative things. I'm talking about taking the seed of the Word of God and spreading the gospel. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, 8, 9 and 10, he says, and be not deceived, God is not mocked, that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The Bible says, and as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. All right? So what am I doing? I am deciding as a sower that I'm going to do my job in getting out that which is the gospel of Christ and helping others to get out the gospel of Christ. I can't go, but I can send somebody in my stead. And by the way, come here, Dale, if you will. I want to be able to sense, let's say that Dale, now he's a preacher boy, and thank God for him, all right? But let's say God calls him to a mission field. As God calls him to a mission field, here's what I do. We, as a church, believe in him. Now, by the way, we're only going to send somebody, we will only ordain somebody that is going to do right. You know, if somebody's not going to do right, we're not going to ordain them. They're not going to do what they're supposed to do underneath this local church. Then we won't ordain them here. Now you wait, though. Let's say that we ordain him and we send him. He goes over to Spain. Now he's a soul winner. He'll do right in Spain. He'll do it. All right, Travis, come here. And so all of a sudden, Travis surrenders to go to the mission field, and we send him to France. France. Cowboy boots and all, he's going to France. All right? And then, I don't know. Come here and help me if you will, Nathan. All right? And so Nathan, we send him over to, God called him. We don't. And so God called him, and he says, God has called me to reach the people there in Australia. And so he goes over to the Aussie country, and he goes to Australia, and he reaches people with the gospel there. Now, wait a minute. I can't go to where they are. You can look this way if you want to. I can't go to where they are. Okay? I'm saying this. I'm saying, and so here's what we do. Doing a mission conference. Here's a dear brother going to go soul winning there. He's going to do a good work there, and we believe in him. We believe in him. You're going to meet Eric that's coming to our church. Eric is a blind man. A blind man. But yet he has a great burden to be able to reach people with the gospel. He's been on the mission field for some time. He's a great soul winner. Loves the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. So as we put money, if you will, in supporting Eric, you're going to meet Dean. Dean is a missionary to the deaf. Missionary to the deaf. You'll meet Brother Hermance. He has the City of Refuge. Already has, I think, 6 or 7 girls. And you met them already, but we're bringing them back for support. All right? Now, wait a minute. And so you'll meet them. Now, wait a minute. They are reaching people and training people. Now, by the way, I can't do what they do. You can't do what they do. I don't want to do what they do. I don't want to do what they do. Brother Hermance called me the other day. He's telling me stuff about the girls in the girls' home. And I said, thank God for you. God's not called me to do that. I thank God for you. I thank God you have that calling. Okay? Eric has gone through some certain trials over in a mission field where there's a lot of Muslims, all right? And I say, thank God for you. Now, I'm not going to belittle them. I'm going to get behind them. I'm going to support them. See? I love this. And so while I'm winning souls here, he's winning souls over there. And while I'm winning souls here, he's winning souls over there. And while I'm winning souls here, he's winning souls over there. Okay? Now I'm saying this. I'm saying, and the Bible says that fruit may abound to my account. So I put a little bit of money on this gentleman right here. He goes soul winning, and here's what takes place. Every single person he leads to Christ, fruit is abounding to my account. To my account. Dan, you're going where? Where are you going? Brazil. Now, he knows that. He came to Bible college here as Brother Butler's son up there in the balcony. And he came to Bible college knowing for sure that God wanted him to go to Brazil. Now, one day he's going to leave and go to Brazil. Now, thank God for him. And we'll get behind him financially and try and help and support. Now, wait a minute, okay? And every person he leads to Christ in Brazil, or Rebecca leads to Christ in Brazil, can I tell you that is fruit that is put on our record? See, that's why it's just not about the fruit put on your record. It's about those precious people getting saved. That's what it's about. Thank you. Be seated, if you will. So I said there's the duty of the supplier. Statement number 2, there is the dedication of the sower, and that's the goer. There's God and the goer. And then let me give you this last statement tonight, and that is the devotion of the saints. That's the givers. So you have God, you have the goers, and you have the givers. All right? The dedication of the sowers, that's the goers. The devotion of the saints, that is the givers. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11, the Bible says, being enriched in everything and all, it says, bountifulness, it says, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 12, the Bible says, for the administration of the service, it says, not only supplieth the want, it says, of the saints, but is abundant, it says, also by many thanksgivings to God. So here the Apostle Paul is just being thankful for all that's taken place. Why? Because he has those people that are giving. Those people that are giving. We were in evangelism for 12 years, you know it, and we were in evangelism for 12 years. We always like to go to Sandy Bozeman's church. He's in Dallas, North Carolina. There's a Dallas, North Carolina. He's in Dallas, North Carolina. And we always like to go to Sandy Bozeman's church because Sandy Bozeman had a heart for giving, had a heart for helping. and such a dear brother, such a help and encouragement to our family. I remember one time Brother Bozeman asked, he said, what do you need for your ministry? And we were having computer problems. I said, I'd like to get a couple of apples. And he said, we can go down to the fruit stand and get that. I said, no, I'm talking about computers. They're called apples. I'd like to get a couple of them. And so he got online and had I think, Brother Jonathan to help him, some other men to help him. And how much did he pay for those each? $3,000 each. He ordered it on his credit card. And then he got up at church that night. And he said, church, I want to tell you, he said, God placed on my heart as your pastor to give to the Wells family. They needed two Apple computers. He said, $3,000 each. He said, how many of you love the Wells family? They all raised their hand. He said, good, because I've already spent the money. He said, so tonight I'm going to give you a chance to prove your love. He said, how many of you men would be willing to stand right now, and give money? And did you know that money came in very, very quickly? People just saying, I'll give this, I'll give that, and kind of a giving church. He has bought cars for missionaries that have come through. I don't think he put that on his credit card, but bought cars for people going through. Okay? Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this. No wonder God has blessed that church so much. Because the people have a heart to give. Now, you got missionaries coming. Let me talk to you as a preacher, as pastor. You got missionaries coming. Look for their needs. Look for their needs. Brother Stead, I'm going to talk about in a minute. Brother Stead went over to the Philippines with me, and there was a dear brother there, and they outgrew their building. Can I say this? I'm not going to say an amount. Is that okay? They outgrew their building. Dear brother. And our Brother Stead has a heart of gold. And dear brother outgrew his building because of soul winning, leading people to Christ. And Brother Stead said, well, how much would it cost you to get this other building? And the man said, well, it cost this amount. He said, well, you go ahead and get that building. Let me help you with it. You know, there's been hundreds of people saved because of that deacon sitting right there. Because he reached down inside and said, I can do something. You know, can I tell you what? We got people in our church. Let me tell you about people in our church. We got people in our church that bought buses and gave them to the church, bought them. We didn't have to spend a penny for them, bought them. People sitting in this room right here tonight said, I want to see boys and girls and teenagers and men and women get saved, and I've got enough money. Preacher, how much would it be to buy a bus? And I said, anywhere between $3,000 and $5,000. And they said, I'd like to give you. And they'd give $3,000 to $5,000 and say, go buy yourself a bus and fill it up with boys and girls and teenagers and men and women so that they can come to know Christ. And because of that, we run the buses that we run. Now, that's the goodness of God's people. I had a dear brother come to my office, and he and his wife is here tonight, came to my office and said, preacher, we'd like to be a blessing to you, and gave me some money, and matter of fact, just threw it on my desk. I don't think my desk has ever had that much money on it. And threw it on my desk, and he said, look, we'd like to be able to buy you a pair of shoes. You're our preacher, and we just like to buy you a pair of shoes. It's from us. I said, oh, you don't have to do that. He said, didn't say I had to. Said, we want to. That's the goodness of God's people. Hello. Brother Yao went and found 140 chairs. Now, watch this. Sometimes God will give through you what he will not give to you. And so Brother Yao had the bus ministry and had the good Sunday school teachers in mind that's over in the gym and said, you know, they've been sitting in those old raunchy chairs for all this time. And by the way, those bus kids didn't break those chairs. We got them that way. But been sitting in those chairs all these many years and said, God has allowed me to get 140 chairs. By the way, nice chairs, padded chairs, the type that you like to sit in if you have a body that's hurting. And boy, he got the 140 chairs. Are you listening to me? God gave through him more than he would give to him. I don't know where he put 140 chairs in his house, but God gave through him. Brother C.W. Fisk came over and preached in our college chapel. He worked for Dr. Hiles for 15 years, and then he worked for Jim Vineyard for 15 years, and he has a good history of being a soul winner. And I thought, you know, I'd like to give him a New Testament. And so I went in, and on my shelf I grabbed one of my personal New Testaments, and I gave it to Mrs. Cavanaugh and had her to make an inscription inside of their presentation page. And I gave it to him, and we were walking down the hallway, and Dr. Fisk started to have a crackling in his voice. And I said, "Are you okay?" He said, "There's only one other man in America that's ever given me a New Testament when I preached at his college, and that's Dr. Lee Robertson, and it's been many, many years ago." And he took that New Testament. He said, "I want to thank you for that New Testament. I'll treasure that until I die." You know, God sometimes will give through you. He will give through you. And all I'm asking you to do is be open to the Lord. What would God give through you for the missionaries? What would God give through you to be able to make sure that somebody else gets the gospel? God wants to use us. Let Him use you in that way.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.